Good afternoon, friends. Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio on a Friday. Not quite digging out yet, unless I guess you live around Wilmer, Alexandria. I guess the worst is over, but another one is coming. It is Friday afternoon, and the Farm Talk Fall Harvest Tour was last week. And Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist, I kind of missed our conversation with you last week.
Well, and not to be impersonal, but I didn't.
Oh, okay, all right.
I was listening to you.
Oh,
and I am. I'm a neighbor. I'm a friend, and I'm a fan. And it's always fun for me. Whether you go on the spring planting tour, sometimes it's virtual, but still virtual. I mean, virtual is better than not going anywhere anyway, right?
Well, unless it's a restaurant or something.
I mean, that's why the Travel Channel and the Food Network do pretty well for themselves, right?
I guess so, yeah. And then occasionally I go to Commodity Classic or the National Farm Machinery Show, and Hey Prairie Grains is coming up and all of that.
So the real thing, like Big Iron, is definitely much better than the virtual. The real Fall Harvest Tour is absolutely, it was fun. Listening to some of the places that you were and some of the people and learning the other side of, you know, how you have a news director in Grafton that's a beekeeper, a backyard beekeeper. It's always kind of fun to learn about that stuff, Mick.
And for me, too. I mean, here's a guy who's been in radio for 40 years and just recently he, you know, well, I think he probably started as a hobby. And then he goes, I think I was born to do this.
Yeah.
And now he's got... I can't remember how many thousand hives that go on a truck here now and out to California, and wow,
yeah, and
interesting.
And to legit, I mean, he's more than just a backyard beekeeper.
Yeah.
I shouldn't reduce that. Well, and it also, like, I know you as a friend, and I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough to get to spend some time with you here and there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
And I mean that sincerely, and we share that mutual admiration, and there's so much that people know about you from, you know, your professional career on the TV as a weatherman and on the radio. But then when they also realize, like, when you were not only working 15 hours a day, that you're still, when it comes to having a green thumb, you have a green hand. You have like two green hands. Maybe that was what, then the FFA, there was the green hand award.
Yes.
I would venture to say that if we had one for an adult, you'd have two green hands, Mick.
My most popular TV character growing up was Mr. Green Jeans, so I guess.
Yeah. And then even, so people's, well, that kind of fits into a guy that grew up in rural North Dakota and you know, your background. But then when they, if they've ever had the fortune of learning what a master, and it almost comes into, like, when I say it, people will think of like rack music, like a music mixer, a music producer.
A music producer. I guess that, yeah, a lot of producers are kind of decide the chord structure and everything for songs. But I record a hobby. You know, in fact, before Thanksgiving, got another CD coming out from a group up in Canada.
So. Wow. And over the course of time, when I would, you know, visit off the air with Mick, you know, he'd be spending weekends driving to Montana, driving down to Nebraska, and all across the upper Midwest, carrying on that.
Well, I'm kind of a audio architect, I guess, and that's something I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And, it kind of fits in with the career, and yeah, growing up on the farm, but not that many farmers have you know, hundreds of big tuberous flowering begonias. And my wife said, oh, I like geraniums the other year. Now she's got about 20 of them. So, and I've got them in the basement now this winter. So.
And legendary, and it's probably been a few years now that you had sunflowers that had to be like 10 to 15 feet tall, Mick.
Yeah, they were Russian Kong. I think they were called Kong sunflowers was the variety. Yeah, they... And I put a little Monty's on them, and I got it. Yeah, they were higher than the house almost. So
they were.
Yeah, you could see them from the street, and they were in the backyard.
Yeah, and it's probably been a few years now since you did that. You haven't taken to that experiment once again.
No. If I lived out in the country, if I had acre or two or three. It would. I wouldn't be mowing much lawn. I would be growing all kinds of stuff.
And that's probably a reason why. Like when I talked to my kids, I was actually, this was like serious the other day, because my wife loves to repurpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, you know, and she loves to pick stuff up. And my kids, you know, finally seriously realized that that's why I don't have a pickup truck. I have everything we drive is a four-wheel drive. My mm-hmm. wife has a van, but we have three other four-wheel drives because I live in the Midwest.
Yes.
I want to be able to get somewhere. And people are like, you're an outdoors guy and you don't have a pickup truck? I'm like, no, because we would have Quonsets full of stuff. If I had a pickup right now, I can say, you know what, honey, we can't fit that in my Expedition. And if it gets to the next level, like where she's really, really, really wants it, then I'll say, well, I guess I can borrow Gordy's pickup truck.
Yeah.
If we, you know, that's kind of like how I buffer the fact that otherwise, I mean, I'd have more, I'd look like Sanford and Son driving down the street.
And if sometimes coming back from Roman sale, if you got something roped to the roof, you look like the Beverly Hillbillies yep. coming into California.
Guilty. Guilty as charged, Mick. Right. But the genesis of our discussion was learning about the Mike, the news director up in Grafton, and and that was from your fall harvest tour where I'm listening to hear what the ground is like and what's happening, because that's always has a huge impact on the hunting and the fishing and the outdoors world, Mick.
And 54 weeks ago, we had a blizzard, which put the kibosh on a lot of things. But now, this week, we have the snow, which obviously affecting the migration, or what are we, what's happening with the geese now?
And this is, like, I don't just say it to hear myself speak. I say this year in and year out, when we get a weather system like what we've just kind of been going through in, you know, in North Dakota, Western Minnesota, and into South Dakota, this is why I stress scouting. Because if you might live in Fargo and you might think, well, I guess there's no reason to be heading up to Kenmare this weekend hunting because of the snow, mm-hmm. and Mick, I'm not a meteorologist, but how much snow did they get in northern North Dakota out of this past little system?
Well, on Thursdays, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monday or Tuesday, that Tuesday system, they got a little.
Right.
This weekend, tomorrow, another one coming through. It looks like the same path as yesterday's one, just going through South Dakota, central Minnesota.
So if you don't scout, you could really just, you know, basically miss out on what's going to turn out to be a pretty good weekend outdoors.
Yeah.
I mean, again, in your own backyard, whether your backyard is Sisseton or Sabin, might be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're thinking about heading out to maybe Sykeston, out to central North Dakota, things are going to be actually probably a whole lot better. And when we rewind through this week, when we have more of the snow, like maybe south of a Highway 2 type situation, what's been kind of a challenge this year, why scouting is so important, is from what I've seen and heard, there hasn't been that significant of weather impacts like in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
To push those northern birds down. When I'm listening to you in Grafton and Devil's Lake and in Langdon,
I saw no geese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't been pushed down. There hadn't been the weather. There hadn't been hunting pressure because the border has been closed. They didn't mm-hmm. get the usual influx of North Dakota type hunters or United States hunters. Without that, what happens is those northern birds slowly start to migrate in
mm-hmm.
and again, this weekend, you know, I'm shrugging my shoulders because I don't know until you get there what you're going to have for birds in Devil's Lake and Candu and in Langdon. My hunch is it's going to be pretty good. In fact, it's probably going to be better than it was last week. And the good news is after the weather settles back down, you're going to have lost probably a lot of the local birds. As cold as it got and is, mm-hmm. and is going to be,
yep.
you're going to lose a lot of those local birds, the local teal, they're gone. The doves, man, they were gone by Tuesday. But yeah. the northern birds are still going to have some time to slowly migrate in. So that should be pretty good, Mick.
And with the snow, heavier snow in South Dakota, are they migrating and then stopping? So southern North Dakota, the central, this is migratory waterfowl.
Yeah.
Are they going to halt and be around North Dakota a little more often?
And that's part of the point, is they don't all go through in 1 day or in 2 days or in 3 days. Now, sometimes, you know, your mind just thinks, well, we got cold, we got snow, the birds started to move, and they're all gone. And again, you're limited by your own intention. And part of what I try to do is to, you know, get some motivation to get out there. Mm-hmm. And one thing that has been a reality check for some of these guys when I tell them that, hey, you know, our gas prices, even compared to last year, are about 35 to 40 cents cheaper per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gas price. So when you talk about scouting, you really don't have that much of an excuse not to get out and to go scouting. You know, the other side of that, and we've touched on that a little bit as well, is, yeah, we've got some playoff football games, some high school activities going on, but you can't say, well, I can't go out and do some scouting because I want to catch the Bison game or the Dragon game or the Cobber game or the Fighting Hawks game.
Yeah.
Because they ain't happening.
I'm afraid not.
They ain't happening.
Even the UND hockey team is playing somewhere else.
Yeah. Exactly. So between that, but between the lower gas prices and, you know, quite honestly, having a little more time on your hands, is now more than ever, you can make an excuse to go out and do more scouting instead of saying, well, you know what, maybe we'll just cross our fingers and hope. Again, what I'll tell you going into this weekend is that when you get past that snow line to the north, you're going to probably find more birds, especially with how cold it is, the air temperature freezing up some of those smaller sloughs. But I'm hedging my bets. It's not going to be that bad when you get out of the snow, Mick.
Super. All righty. Speaking of getting out, Jason Hansen up around the Devil's Lake area, Mr. Rock and Roll Agronomy, all he wants to know is the ice thick enough yet to go ice fishing?
Not yet. Patience, my friends. Patience.
Okay. We are going to take a break. It's Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist, on a Friday afternoon here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. It's Farm Talk.